This is Dr. Max D. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join again at the same time each week and follow along in our Bible studies. And we're so happy to have you tune in and allow us to come into your homes and to have our Bible study. Again, we want to thank you for the response that we get. And it is amazing, especially in this area here, what it seems predominantly here with Roman Catholics and Lutherans, that so many people are saying, you know, we never knew. We never heard this stuff about in our church. And there are other peoples that just hate us because we expose their false teaching, and they just hate that. But there are others that say, you know, man, I didn't know that. I did not know it was in the Roman Catholic Bible that Mary had six other children. They don't even believe their own Bible, do they? No, they really don't. And then Martin Luther, well, I thought he was a great reformer. I thought he was really came out of Roman Catholicism. I didn't know that he still did the things and believed the things the Roman Catholic Church believes. And I didn't know that he didn't believe in the rapture and these other things. We'd never heard of the rapture. And we have from some of the Lutherans, you know, we've never heard of the rapture. Well, the reason is Martin Luther didn't believe in it. That's why you never heard of it, you see. And but anyway, we want to go on here because whatever more Martin Luther wrote, and I'm very interested in that and reading his writings and so forth, his philosophy, you can write, Luther has written like on the Ten Commandments, what's the first commandment, and he expounds on that, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, on up to the tenth, and so forth. All of that you can expound here up on the Sermon on the Mount. All of that has nothing to do with you going to heaven when you die. You tell me, sir, and I'm talking like I would be talking to Martin Luther, tell me how to go to heaven when I die. And I don't care how much other stuff you write upon or anything else, it makes absolutely no difference to me. We find out that Ellen G. White, she has a lot of writings and so forth, occult religionist. We find out Jehovah's Witnesses, their leaders, many, many books out, occult religion. Joseph Smith, a Mormonism, and so forth, many, many books out, and so forth. Even concocted another Bible in the Mormon Bible. False prophet, you see, cult religions. And so forth. And so you have many books out. Luther's done the same thing. But you tell me, Mr. Luther, I want to know. I'm going to pin it right down because I don't care what else you wrote. I want to know, tell me, sir, how you go to heaven when you die. Now, Luther, in his writings, all through his catechisms here, in the small catechism and large catechism, comes right out and says, your water baptism washes away your sins. I think, Mr. Luther, if I'm not mistaken, I think that you forgot about the book of Revelation, sir. And I think that you forgot that God says your sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, not water baptism, sir. And in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 5, we find this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, the Bible disagrees with you. You've lied to me again. You're telling me that water baptism washes away my sins, sir, when it was a person, God himself in human flesh, that came to this earth and died on that cross and paid for my sins, and you're telling me that you're going to substitute the water and your preacher sprinkling a little water over somebody's head. Remember now, they are a sinner. Christ went to the cross because he was God in human flesh, and he never sinned. In him was found no sin. God made him to be sin for us, sir, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you're telling me all those that follow your philosophy, Mr. Luther, and can sprinkle some drops of water over a person's head and say, I now baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that by their words, sir, as you say in your catechism, that by their words they concentrate the water with those words, and it becomes life-giving water, and now it's some miraculous water that it washes away our sins. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, I'm going to believe Jesus Christ instead of you, sir, because I believe you are nothing more than a false prophet when I compare what you say, sir, and I'm sorry to see thousands and thousands of people led right straight to hell by following your teaching when we compare it with the Word of God. And there are several other things we'll bring out, but another thing. You always use a verse, sir, and you pull it out. You never check the correct translation, and you pull out any little tiny thing that you can apply to baptism, irregardless if it's a mistranslation or what, and you're going to hang all of your salvation, Mr. Luther, up on water baptism. Well, I've got news for you. It's the blood of Christ, not the water, and I'm going to believe Jesus Christ, sir, instead of you. But anyway, we're going to go to your sugar daddy, Mr. Luther, as well as to the Roman Catholic organization, and that's found in Acts chapter 2 in verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So, let's begin to read here. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, Mr. Luther, if you had checked the original manuscripts, and if you had checked the majority text, Mr. Luther, you would have found out that the little word for is a Greek preposition pronounced eis. It's spelled E-I-S. Now, that's very interesting, as this is, as we've said, one of the favorite passages used by Catholicism, used by Martin Luther, and, of course, every one of his puppets that have followed him right straight down that are in the pulpits today that have followed him. And you use this to endorse water baptism for salvation. But the key to getting the proper understanding of this verse is found, as we've said, in the little Greek word eis, E-I-S, translated for. Now, the Greek eis is translated various ways in the New Testament, and it depends on the context and the usage of the word itself by demonstrating on what basis it is used, on the grounds of which it's used, on what the aim of which it is used, or the purpose from which it is used. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we have eis doxon himon. That is translated, unto our glory, in the King James. In the Revised Standard Version, it is translated, for our glory. It is translated thus, in demonstrating the aim or the purpose, that being our glory. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, eis, E-I-S, is translated at, demonstrating the basis or the grounds, that being the preaching of Jonah, was the grounds for the repentance of Nineveh, because they repented at or because of the preaching of Jonas, and that's the way that it should be translated. A.T. Robertson, a well-known Greek scholar to most all pastors, he has many books out on the Greek New Testament and that. He has a whole series out on that. Has pointed out that the Greek preposition eis, translated for, in the phrase for the remission of sins, may also mean, excuse me, because of. An example of this can be found in Luke chapter 11, verse 32, where the text says that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas. The word at is a translation of the same Greek term eis, as found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The people of Jonah's day, you see, did not repent for his preaching, but because of his preaching. And this, Mr. Luther, you should have searched out, sir. You're supposed to be a Bible scholar, or people think that, truthfully, you're their God. You absolutely are. If Martin Luther says it, you are their God. I remember we were at a certain place, my wife was there, and some ladies were talking about the Bible, and this lady said, Oh, be careful now, I'm a Lutheran. And she said, well, what do you mean, be careful, because you're a Lutheran? What in the world does that mean, ma'am? You know, what in the world does that mean? And but I'm just saying this now. I'm not telling you the rest of the conversation that went on. But because you're a Lutheran, it'd be nice to hear you say, ma'am, I'm a Christian. Are you identifying that you're going to believe everything a dead man said 500 years ago or that? Is that what you're following? A dead man? A sinner? And proof that he's a sinner is he's dead. The wages of sin is death, ma'am. And you're saying, oh, I'm a Lutheran. Really? Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you the truth, ma'am. I'd rather hear you say I'm a Christian. But you know what? If you say, well, I'm a Lutheran, that means you follow a dead man and all of his philosophy and all of his teaching right straight into hell. Because this man was not a saved man by the name of Martin Luther when you compare what he says according to the Bible. And it's unbelievable. But let's go on down and let's begin to get some other things here concerning this verse here. We find out here, if we go and consider here, again, in the proper translation. Well, let me give you one other man here first before we do this here, because the proper translation of ice is because of. We find out, and most of you know at all, unless you're so geared in on Martin Luther, you don't know what else is going on in the world. One of the great Bible scholars here that has died some time back, but has written many, many books and known the world over, truly a worthy scholar, from his writing on his book of Acts, filled with Spirit, it's a verse-by-verse commentary. The King James, here's what he says, has to say about it, and quite a prolific writer and scholar. The King James translation of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, which says, to be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, is unfortunate and inaccurate. The little Greek preposition eis, translated for, is an indefinite preposition of reference. It does not mean in order to. If Peter had commanded the people to be baptized in order to receive the remission of sins, he would have needed to use the Greek preposition hina, H-I-N-A, which means in order to, which he did not. You just can't find it. He didn't use it. Even in English, the preposition for does not necessarily mean in order to. Often, for means on the basis of or on the ground of. Therefore, one is scolded for being late, or arrested for stealing, or praised for their beauty, or rewarded for their bravery, or paid for their work. In that sense only is one baptized for the remission of sins, that is, baptized for remission of sins already obtained when one has repented, or the Greek word for repented there, repent is metanoia, and it does not mean sorry for sin. It means change your mind, you see. Now, with this in mind, let us return to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where the Greek eis is translated for in the King James and unto in the Revised Standard Version. In these instances, the Greek eis would be incorrectly translated for or unto. The correct translation would be because of, a more accurate rendering. Therefore, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, ice is shown the basis or the grounds for baptism, that being their remission of sins because of their belief in Jesus Christ. This would then be in perfect agreement with all other scriptures concerning salvation. Here is how the verse would read in its proper translation. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and repent, as we've said, is change your mind. It's the Greek word metanoia. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins. In other words, repent or change your mind about the Christ that you crucified with wicked hands, we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, and receive him as your personal Savior. Then be baptized, therefore publicly identifying yourself with him in profession of your faith. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, but you should have looked this up. You should have known this. And if you had checked in the original manuscripts, the Greek manuscripts, you would have known this, sir. And if you were to check the context, you would have known when you're using this as a basis for your damnable doctrine of baptismal regeneration. And then you would have also known, Mr. Luther, that it contradicts many, 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 every other scripture that is used for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see. And every verse that uses faith in Christ, believe in Christ, trust in Christ, and so forth, I don't see you using any of them verses, Mr. Luther. What, did you leave them out of your catechism? And is this what you've done? Now, it is true, and I want to say this, at the first part, and you're expounding on the Ten Commandments and so forth, and there, and also when it comes to what about the scriptures, I should say, in the second article of redemption on page 100 of your small catechism, sir, you say, and this is unbelievable, that you say on there that, if I've got the right page here, I'm sorry, I said page 100, we'll get to that in a minute, but on page chapter 90, you say that you believe in the teachings and so forth of the apostles, and it's called the Apostolic Creed and so forth. And but then it's a very interesting thing here. You state on page 101, sir, that why is Jesus called Jesus? And you state that he's called Jesus because he is the only Savior of all mankind. Then you turn around later in your large catechism and say you don't even have faith. Have to have faith to have eternal life, Mr. Luther, and we'll get to that in just a short time. You are about as confused man as I've ever seen, or any cult leader as I've ever seen, about mutilating the scriptures. And I don't know what these people read that follow you, and evidently they just go to church as a social club because they surely don't study what you write and find that you contradict yourself time after time in your catechism book, sir. You most assuredly do. You say one place Christ is the only Savior, you turn around and say that you don't even have to have faith. As long as you've been baptized, your faith cannot render your baptism void. What a joke! And I'm going to follow you, Mr. Luther? Truthfully, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want anything to do with you. You're a false teacher. You've led many hundreds and thousands to follow you right straight into hell by your a watery grave, sir. You got baptism on the brain. Let me go on and say, it would be contradictory to Peter. And since Peter here said, repent you and be baptized because of the remission of sins, I don't know what you're studying, Mr. Luther, but why didn't you pick out the little Greek preposition eis? Why didn't you tell your readers how it should be translated, sir, which would do away with your damnable doctrine of baptism? But no, you're not going to do that. You extract this verse out, and you take it in the mistranslation of the word eis, and you don't tell the people it's a mistranslation, and you want to do anything you can to convince people they're going to heaven if they are water baptized. That washes away your sins. Too bad, Mr. Luther, you didn't know Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, which says we are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, not the water, sir. Now, let's go here, and it would be contradictory, as we've said, of Peter, to proclaim salvation in Christ only, then states that you have to be baptized to be saved. Notice Peter's words in Acts chapter 4, right in the same chapter here, in verse 12. Notice what he says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name among men. We must be saved by that name, which goes right along with John 14:6, where Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. But you want to inject water baptism, Mr. Luther. That's why you're a lost man, because you're trusting your philosophy instead of the inerrant Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Was it not Peter who stated in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? I don't see anything about baptism here, sir. Now, if you cannot recognize the little mistranslation of a Greek preposition eis, then definitely, sir, with your false philosophy and your false teaching, you're telling me you got to be baptized to be saved there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and then we come to Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Would you explain to me, Mr. Luther, then how maybe the Holy Spirit's wrong? Because the Holy Spirit inspired here Dr. Luke to write these things, and in one passage you're telling me, which is a mistranslation, but you're telling me, sir, you got to be baptized, and we find out in Luke chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Mr. Luther, the two are contradictory. Did you ever try to explain that to your in your catechism, sir? Or are you just going to let it slide by so the people can be deceived, you see, and draw them and siphon them into your philosophy, sir, instead of bringing the verses forward that contradict your philosophy? We find out that Peter did not instruct them to call upon baptism to save them. Peter had instructed these Jews to be baptized after they were saved, not only as a testimony to others, but also of having a good conscience, wherein themselves, by being obedient to the Lord. Peter later expressed this in his first epistle in chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, that is, our sins. What did it save us from if we're not baptized? It saved us from having a guilty conscience. But notice what it says right in the verse. But the answer of a good conscience unto God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I might say this, and we'll be on this a little bit later. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, that you pulled the first half of this verse out and chopped off the last half in incidences that you use here to prove that your philosophy that you want people to be water baptized and it'll wash away their sins. You chopped this verse in two, sir, which is totally dishonest with the Word of God. Then we find out, what does baptism save us from? According to this verse, a guilty conscience before our Lord in not refusing to be publicly identified with Him by water baptism. How wonderful it is for the child of God to always be able to proclaim, as we find out in the Word of God in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, we've covered Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We're quite dishonest with that, Mr. Luther. You didn't even point out the point of the little Greek preposition. I would not say you're very much of a scholar, sir. And something else that really bothers me, too, because you have in your catechism on page 100, you have in here in the second article entitled Redemption, you come down here and you say, and I want to read the first paragraph, and then I want to see another lie that you've given out, Mr. Luther, and people can read it for themselves. Let me read the first article here that you have in Redemption here, according to the Apostles' Creed here. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Well, you're just quoting right from the Roman Catholic, sir. You didn't come out of that at all. But the next line here is really amazing, because you not only lie to me, but you mislead me, Mr. Luther, because you say, He, that's Christ, descended into hell. Sir, you are a liar. The more I read your stuff, the more I pick out your lies, sir. I'd like for you to go with me to Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, if you will. And Mr. Luther says that Christ went to hell. That's very interesting. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about this, Mr. Luther. Evidently, you didn't know Luke chapter 23, verse 43 was in the Bible. You throw out these things, sir, and you got ignorant people that just follow you. Every word you say, you are their God, sir. When I talk to Lutherans, it is what Martin Luther said. What Martin Luther said, you are a God to them, sir, whether you realize it or not. And it's not the God of the Bible. No, no, no. That's why they will believe your catechism, anything you write, sir, over the Bible. Look in Luke chapter 23, in verse 43, if you will, and we'll look here in verse 42. And this is talking about the thief on the cross here now. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now they're on the cross. He's just about ready to be put to death, or give his life, I should say. And notice what Christ says to him. Now Martin Luther says that Christ went to hell. But let's see what Jesus Christ said. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Not hell, Mr. Luther, I'm sorry. The hell he took was on the cross, sir. He went to paradise, paradise, in the center of the earth, where the souls were, sir, in the Old Testament, and that's where they went. We find out that Hades and Sheol had two compartments, one paradise and one torment. No, Christ didn't go to hell, sir. You're leading people to believe that he burned in hell. No, he did not. No, no, he burned under the fires of hatred. And he died on that cross. He could have, on that cross, called down 12 legions of angels, you see. I should say, a Roman legion is 6,000. 12 of them, 72,000. He could have called down 72,000 angels, sir, and wiped that whole mess out. But he told the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You're telling me, Luther, he went to hell, and you're lying to me, sir. I don't know how much Bible study you've done, Mr. Luther, 500 years ago. But I'll tell you what, you just said, the more I read what you say, the more lies that come out. And people worship you as a god. That's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. That's why you tell them in your catechisms, read the catechism, read the catechism, read the Apostles' Creed, read this. Why don't you tell them, Mr. Luther, to read the Bible? Why don't you tell them to look in the Bible? And that's sort of an amazing thing, you know. And one other thing while we're here, and we got just a minute for this. Let me give you another lie, Mr. Luther, that you tell. In your small catechism here, you have here on page 118, sir, under number 153, what do the scriptures teach of Christ's ascension into heaven? And here's what you say, sir. The scriptures teach that according to his human nature, Christ visibly ascended to heaven and entered into the glory of his Father as our forerunner. May I say something, sir? Christ did not enter the glories of heaven in his human nature, sir. He entered in his resurrected, glorified body. So you lied to me again. Why are you telling me that Christ entered the glories in his human nature? My friend, he had a transformed body. He was transformed. He had a resurrected body, sir, not the human body. After he was resurrected, he walked 40 days on this earth. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, that was in his resurrected body, sir, Mr. Luther. And then in Acts 1:11, said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you, so shall come again in like manner." And then you give a reference to Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 20. I want to take you there because I don't know where in the world, sir, you're getting Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20 that supports you saying that Christ here ascended according to his human nature. Let me look here in chapter 6 in verse 20. And let's see what you come up with on this one, Mr. Luther. Here's what it says. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest, even after the order of Melchizedek. Where in the world, Mr. Luther, do you ever get, and to use a reference like that, to Christ ascended in his human nature or his human body? That is, maybe you're hoping they won't look it up, and to know that. But again, let me say this in closing, if I may. The point is, I believe the Bible 100%. I don't believe you, Martin Luther. You've lied to many people over and over. And by your own testimony, sir, you've been in hell for over, I would say, 500 years or something like that. In using round fingers now, or figures now. You're not saved at all, sir. Comparing your teachings as we do Joseph Smith's, we do Ellen G. White, Mary Baker Eddy, and so forth like that against the Bible there. You're nothing more than a cult religion, sir. You are a false teacher. And I don't want anything to do with you. I have your books. I have your Bible studies. I have your just about anything, your catechisms and so forth. Most Lutherans don't even have a large catechism, sir, that I've talked to. I don't even know if they know it exists. But we're going to be on that in our next message here and show you, sir, where where you contradict yourself time after time. Well, here's the point. If you're listening, I'll tell you what. Don't tell me you're a Lutheran because I don't even want to hear it. Tell me you're a Christian. And tell me that Jesus Christ is your Savior, because if you're a Lutheran and you believe Martin Luther, you're lost on your way to hell. Because Martin Luther taught, no shadow of a doubt, your water baptism washes away your sins, frees you from the devil, and gives you the Holy Spirit and so forth. Sorry, Mr. Luther, you're a liar. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We hope that we can invite you and hope you'll come and visit us at Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove. Our zip code, or our mailing address is Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Our church service is from 10 to 11 on Sunday morning, 6 to 7 on Sunday night, and our youth group, wonderful youth group we have on every Thursday night from 7 to 9 o'clock. We hope that you'll join with us. Keep looking up as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.